Thanks again. Thank you. To Explosion tonight. Thanks, Cole. I'm excited. How good was this morning? You were at church this morning. It was so good. Just really good. Come on. I just felt like, oh, it was just such a great word, but just such a sense of just God's presence and what he was doing and like just thinking about, I don't know, I just kind of, like I was playing and after the last song we did some prayer and I came out of that last song and just had such a sense of just the peace of God in the place and that God was just in control and what he was doing and it was just awesome. I really encourage you, you know, if currently you kind of come to one service on a Sunday, then you should come to two. And it's awesome to see people who are here for the second time today. Because I honestly feel like being at church is like one of the best places to be and the thing that I enjoy the most in my week. So, like, why wouldn't you? It's not dead. It's not dry. It's awesome. So, get there. I'm going to pray before we start. God, thank you so much for who you are, for everything you've done for us. God, I thank you that you love us, that you choose us, and God, that even though we don't deserve it, you bless us incredibly. And God, I just pray that this time now would be for you. God, that you would speak to us, you'd reveal things to us, you'd show us things in your word. God, that you would just put something in every heart and reveal more of who you are to us tonight, God, in a really powerful way. Amen. So the next few weeks, we're going to do a bit of a series, and I've called it just Basics, and it's going to be relaxed. I really wanted to just talk about, like, the basic stuff. So, like, this week I'm going to talk a bit about God, and next week Dad's going to share about the Bible and what that is, and then the week after that, Adrian, Dad, and me are all going to talk about the church and you know, what the church means and what it means to be a part of the church and you know, how where we see it. But I want it to be like relational, not academic. I think like I went through high school and uni and I spent a lot of time arguing with people about God, about the church, about that sort of thing, having these big religious debates, which I think at the time I thought was like a really good idea. And maybe in a way it was. But, you know, in some ways I'd rather have my time again and just show people that God loves them and talk to people about what Jesus did for them and try and bypass some of the like the petty issues that we have and the petty differences that we have and focus on what Jesus did for us. And so, like, tonight and these next few weeks, I don't want it to be like a thing where you leave with some like fodder for your next religious debate or like an academic thought about who God is or something like that. But, you know, get closer to understanding who God is and what he means to you and what it means for you to be a Christian and what it means for you to walk with God. And if you don't know God, like get some stuff into your heart about his character and who he is and what it means and what Jesus did for you and what the Holy Spirit is and what the Bible says and why you should believe it and just stuff like that. So I really hope that comes out and that we get that, but I want it to be like relaxed and enjoyable and I really just want to share, not like I'm not a theologian, I don't have a doctorate in theology or anything like that, so I'm not going to be able to give you like big answers to everything, and nobody ever can, I don't think. Like, you know, you can, it's not about that. I really just want to share just, you know, how God has changed my life and what he has done for me and who I feel he is and what he's put. Because, like, I guess I've come to a point where you realize that you can never fully understand God. And if God is God, then that makes sense. Like, he's always going to be bigger than me. He's always going to be smarter than me. He's always going to be beyond my human understanding. And so no matter how smart I think I am or how smart you think you are, like, we're never going to know everything. It's like I was thinking about it. It's like trying to explain the internet to someone from the Middle Ages. It's like not only do you have to explain the internet, you have to explain like computers, then you have to explain electricity, and it's just like it goes on, and you really have very little chance of explaining that. And so I was just thinking, like, that's kind of trying to understand who God is in a way like that. And so I just don't want to try And I just want to talk about just things that God has shown me, things that helped me, things that I feel like God really wants to speak to us about who He is and what He wants to do. Is that cool? Sweet. Good. Because I think we need to get past thinking of God as a religious idea. It's really easy, and it's a really easy trap to fall into, to think about God as some sort of religious entity that we have to prove or disprove. But God is about relationship. God is about family. God's about being connected to Him, about knowing Him as your Father and as your Savior and your Lord. And that goes beyond some idea of religion, and it goes to a personal relationship and a real deal thing. And so that's tonight. I want to get beyond that. I want to get beyond God is X, Y, Z, is blah, blah, and just talk about relationship and family. Now, God is the Trinity, and we know that, and you hear that, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, all of that. It's crazy. It's hard to understand in a way, but it's not an academic idea. Simply, God is family, and He wants us to be a part of His family. It's in His nature. The very nature of God is family. And so it's in our nature. We were created in God's image. And so it is in us to be in relationship and to be in family with each other and with Him, yeah? And I think if we can understand that that is God and that is who He is, then that will transform our faith and our life and the way we walk with Him and the way we hear from the Spirit and the things that Jesus did and what He did for us on the cross. And all of those things change when you realize that God is family. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, God the Father is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but Jesus is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not God the Father, and it's there. So it's these three things in one. That's all I'm going to talk about on the Trinity, basically, in trying to explain that, because, there's no point. It's like explaining the internet to King Arthur. So I'm gonna keep going. I just was reading in 2 Corinthians, and the very last thing that Paul says to the Corinthians, so this is his second letter to them, and the last sentence, this is the thing that he's going to leave them with. And I thought it was really interesting. He says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And so that's what I want to share around tonight, these three things. The love of God that is like a father, the saving grace of Jesus that's like a brother, and the Holy Spirit that connects with us and fellowships with us like a friend. And that's what I want to share tonight. So I'm going to pray again, because I feel like God wants to speak tonight, and I don't want to get in the way. God, I just thank you so much for your word and for your truth and for who you are. And God, I pray that you would just really show us yourself tonight and help us to understand you, understand your Spirit, understand Jesus. And God, just understand that you are family and you want us to be part of your family. God, I just pray that you would just really open our hearts to hear what you have to say. God, you just speak to us really clearly. And God, that we would take this time now just to seek you and hear from you. Amen. So God loves like a father. God wants to connect with us in a real and a powerful way. He loves us. The whole thing is about God loving us. Yeah, the whole story, the whole deal is that God loves us. So it's right from the start, right from Adam and Eve, right through to now, it's all about God as a loving father loving us, his children. And there's this story that's really famous, and it's a parable that Jesus told, and I love it for its picture of God as a father. It's the prodigal son, and you may have heard it before, but it's in Luke 15 if you want to read it with me. Jesus says, there was this man, and he had two sons. And the younger one says to the father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so he does that. The father divides the property, and he gives it to him. I'm going to paraphrase because we know the story, and I'm just going to go through it. And so he gives his son all of his inheritance, and the son goes off and says he squandered it on wild living. So he goes and he does everything that he wants, and he goes crazy, and he spends all his money. And then after he'd spent all his money, this big famine comes, and that's a bad time to have already spent all your money. That's a shame. And so then he began to be in need. And so it says he went and he hired himself out to be a slave to someone in this country, essentially. And anyway, he realizes after a while that he's not doing well and that the servants in his father's house are getting even better than he is. And so he says, well, I'll go back to my father. And I want to read it. He says, I'll say this to my father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Oh, I just love this story. It's just such a clear picture of who God is and how he loves us. And it's just like you can't, there's no real room for confusion about this one. It's just, it's so simple. But it's just like God is our Father and he loves us. And as soon as we would turn around and come to him, he is there with open arms running to us. And that's so amazing, yeah? But I think the thing that makes it hard, I think we have a couple of things that make it hard for us to understand in our society, God as a loving Father. And the first thing is that a lot of us, and a lot of our generation find it hard to understand the concept of a good father, what that means. Like, what is a loving father in an earthly sense? I think a lot of us also have this warped perception of who God is. And so when we get to hear, like when you hear God is your father, you're like, oh, well, I don't know about that. Like, that doesn't sound too good. But this story is this picture of who God is as a loving father who, it's incredible, will give you the free choice to do what you want. Because the father in this story doesn't say to his son, no, I'm not going to give you inheritance, but he gives him this freedom of choice, lets him make his own decisions, lets him do whatever he thinks is best, but then is always there with open arms ready for him to come home. And that's an incredible picture of a loving father. Not a demanding father or a controlling father or anything like that, but just a father that loves his children. And that's just amazing. And, you know, we need to understand that. It's not about law, it's about relationship. And all of the law and all of the prophets and everything in the Old Testament is all about God trying to win his children back. And it's just this, the whole Bible is just this story of God getting his children back. God loving his children and wanting them back. And that's his story for the Bible, and it's his story for you, that you are his son, you are his daughter, and he wants you back. And we need to understand this the nature of God as the Father who loves us no matter what and who is there and waiting for us with open arms. Not the Father that will force us to love him, but the Father that loves us unconditionally. And as soon as we turn to him, he's running to us. So that's that one. I have a side note on this, and that's that God challenges us like a father. No, a mother loves you and cares for you and wants to protect you. And this is a stereotype, so please don't be offended. But a father pushes you and lets you test the boundaries and like see how strong you are and gives you challenges and pushes you to achieve more and that's God for us. I remember like, you know, at cricket and being scared of fast bowling, and so Dad, as good fathers do, would just bowl really fast to me until I got over the fear. And I don't think Mum would do that. But that's what a father does. He sees something and he says, well, there's something in there that I need to challenge. I'm going to do it with love. He knows he's not going to hurt you, but he's going to push you. And, you know, that's God as well. As a father, he loves you, but he wants to stretch you and he wants to grow you. And God is your refuge, but he's also your strength. And I think sometimes we sing that and we say that and we go, yeah, God, I'm going to hide in your wing and I'm going to be in your whatever. And that's great, but then we never do anything. But a father, like, he pushes you out of the nest as well, yeah? Like, the bird is under the wing of the parent until it's ready to fly, and then the parent pushes him out. And that's what God wants to do sometimes for us as well. So, yeah, God the Father loves like the Father. All right. Jesus saves like a brother. And I think if God is the Father that loves us, then Jesus is the brother that saved us. No, God's answer and his solution to our separation from him is his Son, Jesus, and the fulfillment of the law and forgiveness and wholeness for us, Jesus as a way back to the Father. In Galatians 4, it says, what I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is amazing. Jesus sacrificed himself for us, a brother, so that we could be a brother and a sister and children of God. And that was the plan from the very beginning. You know, God is family. And I was thinking about this, and I'm like, without sounding too sentimental, like, there's nothing that I wouldn't do for family. And if my brother or my sisters were in trouble, then there's nothing that I wouldn't do. That's Jesus for us. He's your brother, and he loves you, so he gives himself for you. And it's not a matter of, oh, will I or won't I, but that's just what it is. And that's how it is, and that's just, you know, we need to understand that we're not slaves, we're children of God. That means we're brothers and sisters with Jesus, and that makes us family. And, you know, like, I was thinking, and this is a little funny, well, not funny, this is just my little clever line, that we're not brothers in law, we're brothers in grace. And I think we need to know that we're not bound by the law, but we were redeemed by grace while we were under the law. And Jesus, as a brother, as someone born on this earth under the law, redeemed us by living a perfect life so that we didn't have to have that punishment for our sin and we could have connection with our Father in heaven. And that's incredible, yeah? So God loves us like a father. Jesus saves us like a brother. And the Holy Spirit walks with you like a friend. And I think often we think of the Holy Spirit as some weird, spooky thing that's like all about tongues and prophecy and stuff like that. And that's like, that stuff is great, and they are gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they're not the whole nature of the Holy Spirit. And we get that confused a lot, I think. And Jesus says, he says, there will be one that will come after him that will be a counselor and a comforter. And that's more than saying it'll be okay, but that's walking beside us. It's in John 14, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is the Holy Spirit coming down to be with us, to walk with us like a close friend who advises, who counsels, who stands by our side every single day. And the Holy Spirit is not weird, it's not spooky, it's the Spirit of God in you, walking with you every day, your counselor, yeah? And it's that feeling you get that something is not right. It's that sense of this is wrong, or that sense of, yes, this is what I should be doing. It's that confidence, it's that peace, it's that strength. And that's the Holy Spirit trying to talk to you. It's like a friend saying, dude, that's a really bad idea. You know those friends that you can count on, not the friends that do the stupid things that you are saying to them, like, whoa, look out, that's not a good idea. But that friend that, you know, walks with you, lets you go, but then goes, hey, wait, maybe that's not such a great idea. And we have a choice to listen to that or to ignore that. But that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, yeah? It says in Romans 8, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father." It's all about family. And this really struck me this week as I was thinking just about who God is and how I see God and what that means to me and what that means to us and what I think God is trying to say to us. And I think if there's one thing that we need to understand about God is that God is family and that He wants us to be in His family. And everything, the law, the Trinity, the prophets, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it is all about God wanting relationship with us, wanting us to be in His family, in His kingdom, and inherit His glory. And that's incredible, yeah? So I really just hope and pray that we don't get just an academic understanding of God or an existential understanding of God, but a personal understanding of God. Who He is, that He loves us and He wants relationship with us, and He loves like a father, He saves like a brother, and He walks with us like a friend. Amen. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, that He died for us. Because of that, God, that we are your children and your heirs. God, thank you for your Spirit that walks with us every day. And I pray that we would learn to listen to it more. God, that you would speak to us so clearly and help us to hear you. God, give us strength and grace to walk with you every day. God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for everything that you've done and how incredible it is that we are your family and that you want us to be family with you. Before we finish tonight, I want to give an opportunity to you if you want to, you know, sounds funny, but you want to be in God's family, then I want to pray with you tonight. If you want to accept what Jesus did, because that's the truth. Jesus took everything that I've done wrong, everything that you've done wrong, everything that we've done, the punishment for that was death, but He took it for us so that we didn't have to die. He did it because He loves you, because He's your brother. And so if you want to accept Him and accept God as your Father and as your Lord and invite the Holy Spirit to walk with you, then I want to pray with you tonight. And I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or stand up or anything like that, but we're going to pray a prayer together. And if you believe it and that's in your heart, then pray it with everybody and pray it from your heart and speak to the person that you came with. Speak to your friend about what that means. So it's going to come up on the screen. We'll all just pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.